Dear congregation, tonight we're going to consider King Herod. He was a proud man who persecuted the church. And there are many proud and ungodly men in this world who seek their own glory and who persecute the church of Jesus Christ. We only have to go around this world and consider a number of places, and we know there is much persecution. There are many who are persecuting the church. Where Herod here in the days of the early church was known as one who did much harm to the people of God. Now we think here of Herod in verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Not Herod the great that slew the infants at Bethlehem and those surrounding areas, nor Herod Antipas that had John the Baptist beheaded, but Herod Agrippa the first. Herod Agrippa the first. And what an ungodly man he was. He so persecuted the church. Yet despite the persecution, many came to faith in Jesus Christ. After his death, we read there in verse 24 of the chapter, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Many more heard the word and embraced it, particularly thinking of the gospel there. The word rested in their hearts and it was effectual in their lives, and there was the fruit seen. The word of God grew and multiplied. There was Herod who so persecuted the church, but he could not bring the church to an end. No, the Lord so worked, and the word of God grew and multiplied. Well, tonight, as we note certain things in this chapter, I'd like us to consider two main themes. First of all, the proud persecutor, we think of Herod. And then secondly, the persecuted brethren. In verse 1, we think of certain ones of the church. And then we consider James in verse 2, and then also Peter in verse 3. Well, firstly tonight then, the proud persecutor. The proud persecutor. Verse 1, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He was a proud man, and he hounded the Christians. Now as we think of him tonight, I'd like us at this point to particularly consider four things about him. First of all, he was a profane man. Secondly, a persecuting man. Thirdly, a proud man. And then fourthly, he was a punished man. Well, firstly tonight then, a profane man. Notice what Herod did. He stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And then come down with me to verse 22. And we've given a little glimpse of what happened near his death. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now plainly we see he was not a lover of true religion. He hated God. He had no true respect for him. He hated Christ and the church. He was a profane man. He was irreverent, blasphemous. We see that particularly, do we not, in verses 22 and verse 23. He was an ungodly man. He was a wicked man. Now in this world there are many in positions of authority who have no concern for true religion. They pour scorn on the gospel and upon those who are following Christ. Many are rude and say filthy and blasphemous things. Jokes are made about our beloved Lord and about his people. Ministers and other Christians are made a subject of jest. And this happens even in this country. There are those in authority, not all of them of course, but certain ones, they pour scorn upon the people of God. And then as we think of certain ones in this world, there are those who act in such an immoral way. And such immoral behaviour is not unheard of, it's talked about, such as we see here with King Herod. And we read in Jude 1 verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. See their walk there, walking after their own ungodly lusts. Well, there are many profane, ungodly men in this world who are against the Lord and against his cause. At this point, just stop and consider how many in authority are against the Lord. How many kings, how many leaders in this world are against the Lord and the Church of Jesus Christ? In Psalm 2, verse 1, we read, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." You note there, the kings of the earth, they set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. The certain kings, the certain rulers, they take counsel against the Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. But there are certain leaders in this world, they are not bowing the knee to King Jesus. They set themselves against the Lord, against Christ. Remember Herod the Great? He hated Christ and sought his death by slaying all the infants from 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. You can read about in Matthew 2. Verse 16. What cruelty! And see there his hatred. It was so exposed. He wanted our Lord dead. And so he had all those infants from 2 years old and under slain. What a barbaric man he was, Herod the Great. And his grandson here, Herod Agrippa the First, was a wicked man. Notice verse 2. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He put him to death. And he sought the death of Peter as well. When we think then of Herod, he was a profane man. Well, such ought to be warned. God will deal with such men. If they do not humble themselves, God will deal with them. Now we read in Proverbs 4, verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Oh, that many would take heed of those words, that they would not enter into the path of the wicked, that they would not go that way, but oh, that they would follow Christ. So firstly tonight, as we think of Herod, he was a profane man. Secondly, he was a persecuting man. We've already touched on this. Just note verse 1 again. He stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now we read there, he vexed. Stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. To vex, to injure, to harm, to hurt them. And he was causing harm to so many of the early believers. He persecuted them. He hounded them. He vexed them. Like a hornet, so going around and diving in and causing great pain, so Herod would dive in and cause great pain. Now we're told that the Asian hornet is on its way to this country. And I saw a picture of it and it looks a very nasty creature. Well, I say this lovingly, there are some nasty men in this world who seek to cause harm to the people of God. Well, Herod was a nasty man who vexed certain believers. There are certain ones who aim their hatred or their bitterness against the child of God. In Psalm 11, verse 2, we read, "For though the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." They aim. And how up to date God's word is, there are those in this world at this present time who are aiming their hatred against Christians. They're plotting, they're scheming. What can they do next? Psalm 37, verse 12, "The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth." They're scheming, they're plotting. Even tonight, there are certain ones in this world. They're plotting against the church. We know this is all too evident, is it not? Because we have seen churches burnt down. There are those tonight plotting against believers. There are many in this world who will seek to trouble the people of God, and many do in great pride. Psalm 10 verse 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. We're leading on, and let's consider, as we think of Herod, he was a proud man, a profane man, a persecuting man, now a proud man. Come with me to verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them, or a speech or an address unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. Now he sat in that exalted place, upon his throne, in royal apparel, and made this proud speech. And the people gave a shout, exalting him or saluting him as a god. And he received the flattery and the praise. He didn't stop them. No, he received the flattery and the praise. Notice verse 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. You see, he received that flattery. He didn't give God the glory. He was a proud man. He thought he knew best. What do we read in Psalm 115 verse 1? Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Not unto us, but unto thee. But that was not the case of Herod. Herod never sang those words, but delighted in taking the glory to himself. What pride! And dear congregation, there are many proud men in this world. Many who will not seek after God, but they will seek to do harm to his cause. Psalm 10 verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. How many think they know better than God? They dismiss him, ignore him. They will not seek after him in a penitent way. They think they can live their lives without God. How many leaders in this world think they can live their lives without God? But then how many others in this world think the same? They think they have no need of Christ. What matters is myself. And what I do, that will I please, myself. Well, Herod was a proud man. Well, on a day when he was so lifted up of pride, he was suddenly struck down. What do we read in verse 23? And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. During the Battle of the Wilderness in the Civil War, Union General John Sedgwick was inspecting his troops. And at one point he came to a parapet, which is a defense wall or elevation. And he gazed over the parapet in the direction of the enemy. And his officers quickly suggested that he was unwise, and perhaps he ought to duck while he was passing that way. Nonsense, snapped the general. They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance. A moment later, Sedgwick fell to the ground, fatally wounded. What pride! Remember the Titanic? They thought that the Titanic would never sink. There was pride. That general there in the Civil War out in America, pride was in his heart. And there was pride in the heart of Herod that the Lord dealt with him. That leads us to consider fourthly tonight, a punished man. Verse 21, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. What a solemn end to King Herod Agrippa the First. He was smitten with worms, and these worms ate his flesh, and as a result caused his death. Now it's plain here, isn't it, that this punishment was sent to him by God. And as we think of this, God is just to deal with unpenitent men. He is just. Now we read in Ezekiel 33 verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? You see there the Lord, he's reasoning with men. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And there's those offers of the gospel. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? He's reasoning with men. He will have mercy on the one who turns. Yet be sure of this. The one who refuses him in this life, God will deal with. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. God makes it plain in his word. God will deal with wicked and penitent men. God will punish. That's plain here in his word tonight. Here's King Herod Agrippa. He was punished. He did not give God the glory. He was a proud man. He so hated Christ. And the Lord dealt with him, and God is just to do so. The Lord Jesus Christ spake of a place called heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ also spake of a place called hell. There is a judgment to come. In Psalm 1 verse 5 and 6 we read, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. They will not be able to stand. Dear child of God, what a blessing as we think of the great day to come. Having Christ as our Saviour, we shall be able to stand. But not the one who dies in their sins. It is solemn, but God is just. And we see here in this chapter the justice of God. In justice he dealt with King Herod, the proud persecutor. Well, secondly tonight, as we draw to a close, let's consider the persecuted brethren. The persecuted brethren. Come back with me to verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. Certain ones, as we saw earlier tonight, they were troubled. They were hurt. They were injured. And then consider James was put to death. He was killed with the sword. Think of John the Baptist. He earlier had been beheaded. And it's a solemn truth, isn't it, that many have been so dealt with in these days. Many have been killed with the sword or the dagger in recent years. In the Middle East, now there's been certain ones who are unbelievers, but there's been some true Christians in the Middle East, and they've lost their lives. You see how up to date God's word is? We're thinking of something that is going on at this present time in this world. People are losing their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. James was killed with the sword. How many are on death row in certain countries? Not because they did anything wrong, but simply because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we think of James here. But then consider further Peter's imprisonment. Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. There he is, he's in prison. And what was an intention? Well, after Easter, or in the Greek, we translate the word as Passover, to bring him forth to the people, to bring him out after the Passover, to treat him in a terrible way and put him to death. His intention was to do to Peter what he had done to James. He was in prison then. In a moment we'll see how the Lord delivered Peter from the prison. But think of Peter in the prison. And dear congregation, there are many Christians tonight in prison for the sake of Jesus Christ. There are many in this world who are persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. They're persecuted because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them came along to a morning service or an evening service, and then the police came, or others came and rounded them up and took them off into prison. It's happening in this world. Many are being persecuted in this world. Having a look yesterday, there are 5 particular countries in this world where it's so difficult to be a Christian. And the top 5 countries are these, and we'll look at them in the reverse order. Number 5, Syria. Very difficult place to live at this present time. Think of what's been happening in Syria with ISIL, the IS. Number 4, Afghanistan. We're told there is no visible church. It's all underground. Christians have to be very careful in that country. You know, we've got our freedoms, have we not? We can come along to a church or to a chapel. We can park outside. We can walk freely in. Yet in Afghanistan, it's underground. The few Christians that are there, there's no visible church. Number 3, Eritrea. Many are imprisoned without trial. And there's hundreds upon hundreds of Christians tonight in metal containers. Young people, you know these containers they put on lorries or on ships. Well, out in Eritrea, there are many of these containers. And there's brothers and sisters we have in these containers. And in the daytime, it's so hot in the container. There's scorching temperatures. And at night time, it cools down. I remember when I was young, and I've mentioned this before, I met a pastor from Africa called Okba. And he had been in prison, he had been released, and he faced further difficulties. He made a visit to this country, he went back, and the latest news is, and this was many years ago now, he was taken to one of these containers, and that's where he was. And it's more than likely he's with the Lord now, because he was in his 50s when I was about 10 years of age. He's one of many who has faced such imprisonment. Remember those who are in containers tonight in Eritrea. Why? Because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2, Iraq. So difficult to be a Christian in that place. Things have just got worse and worse in Iraq for the Church of Jesus Christ. And then number 1 in this world, for the 14th consecutive year, is North Korea. 14 years now. North Korea has been the worst place to live to be for a Christian. Christians in North Korea are seen as enemies of the state. If you own a Bible there and you're found out, not only will you find yourself in trouble, but your whole family. You put your whole family in danger in having a Bible. And at this very time, there are thousands upon thousands of Christians in horrific labour camps. And they see it as their duty to follow Christ. So many are suffering in this world. We think here of certain ones being vexed, hurt, troubled. Oh, think of the thousands upon thousands this very night who are suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. Hearing on Thursday evening down in Bournemouth at a Christian Institute meeting, we still have our freedoms in May 2016 in this country. For some, they lost their freedoms decades ago in other countries. So many are troubling believers. There are leaders. Think of the leaders in North Korea causing such harm to the people of God. The guards looking out to them, many of them causing such affliction. Many are suffering under a heavy cross of persecution this very evening. There is a cost in following Christ. In Luke 14, verse 28, we read these words, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" counts the cost. You may do a certain project, and a wise person will consider where it's going to cost me so much. And when I've got the money, then I can embark and make this room or something else. They sit down first and count the cost. What the Lord is saying, count the cost. If you're to follow me, count the cost. To some measure, one will suffer. There is a cost and there is a cross. To some measure, our Lord said in Mark 8, verse 34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. One needs to deny themselves. To say no. You know, sometimes we need to say no, do we not? Maybe something's given to us on a plate of food, and we know we shouldn't eat it. And we have to say no. We have to say no to important things as well. Serious things. There needs to be a denying of oneself and a following of Christ. There is a cross to bear. Now it's my prayer that no one here suffers, like so many are suffering in different parts of the world. But there is a cross to bear. There is some suffering that the believer will face, maybe in the workplace. It doesn't go so well in the community. There is a cross to bear. Are you following Christ? Think of the Christians in North Korea. They're in horrific labor camps. But they knew it was their duty to follow Jesus Christ. They knew it was their duty to follow him. Are you following him? What does the future hold for the church in this country? I looked out of my study window yesterday and I noticed the clouds were building and the light was fading and the rain suddenly came down. It's like the storm clouds on the horizon in this country. It looks like Christians may be in the future increasingly vexed. There will be difficulty to some measure. Now Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed. Now those are amazing words, aren't they? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. Yet there's much pain and sorrow and hardship. Yet Jesus says blessed. Why? Because one is in the family. The Lord is their supporter. And they are on the way to heaven. And as you consider certain things you faced, remember you're blessed. Because you're in the family. You're supported by the Lord. And you're on your way to heaven. Those who persecute the brethren and die in their sins will one day realize how unblessed they are compared to the Christian. So unblessed compared to the Christian. Yes, the Christian was persecuted. They suffered, but they had Jesus as their Savior and heaven was before them. Well, we thought then of the persecuted church this evening hour. But in closing, just come with me to verse 5. We'll note what the church was doing when Peter was in prison. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. He's in prison, the church are praying. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And we see that here, Peter, he's suffering in prison. They know there was the intention of Herod to bring him forth and to put him to death as well. Here's the people of God and they're praying for Peter. Peter was not forgotten by the brethren. And as we shall note, he was not forgotten by God as well. We hear then the brethren, they're praying. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. In Hebrews 13 verse 3 we read, remember them that are in bond. Remember them. Let us pray without ceasing unto God. Before you go to your beds tonight, pray for the Christians in North Korea in those horrific labor camps. Remember them that are in bonds. Remember the Christians in Eritrea who are suffering in the scorching temperatures. You know, at times we think it's hot in this country. Go to Africa. Far hotter. And then to be in a container and put there, treated as an animal, because you love Jesus Christ. Remember them before you go to bed. Pray for them as well. Pray without ceasing. There were difficulties surrounding the church. Peter was in prison, but they continued to pray. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Keep praying. There's difficulties. Keep praying. Wesley of old wrote, long as our fiery trials last, long as the cross we bear, O let our souls on thee be cast in never ceasing prayer. There's trials around us. We bear a cross. Pray to the Lord and pray to others who are suffering. But here we see that the church kept on praying. They also kept on believing. They made prayer unto God for him. They believed God was able to support him, and if it was his will, deliver him. And keep on believing, dear brethren. Keep praying, but also believe God is able. God is able to turn the tide, even in North Korea. A church may yet flourish in North Korea. God is able to do such. Think of Iran. What's happening in Iran is great difficulty, yet the church is flourishing in Iran. Underground, but the church is flourishing. Bibles are getting into that place. Yes, there's difficulties, but Bibles are going in, and there's young believers so living for Christ in Iran, so zealous for the cause of the gospel. The Lord is able. Consider how the Lord came to the aid of Peter. Just briefly notice verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. See what the Lord had done? He sent his angel, and he brought Peter out. His chains fell off, verse 7. He was brought through, and he came to the great iron gate, and it opened. The Lord is able to set people free. The Lord is able to deliver. The persecuted believer is not forgotten. They may be delivered in this life from a difficult situation. Certainly they will be delivered at death. Deliverance will come. Those who follow Jesus, despite the cross, will find themselves one day in heaven. And dear brethren, you think of the trials you face. One day they will be over. You will find yourself in heaven. There is a cross to bear, but one day there is a crown. One day the believer will be free from all their trials. It's only for a season. It's only for a while. We pray much for the brethren in North Korea. Are we not thankful it's only for a while? And what an entrance they will have into glory. From a labor camp to a mansion they will find themselves in. What a welcome there will be. And dear brethren, are we not thankful there will be a welcome for us as well? We think of others who so suffer, and they deserve such praise in a right way. But are we not thankful that we too will find ourselves in heaven? Our trials will be over. Where's Peter now? He's in glory. One day we will find ourselves in glory. Our Lord said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And the people of God will suffer and continue to suffer. There will be more persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. But all there will be blessing and there will be deliverance. We who love the Lord tonight, particularly note verse 5, here's the people praying for others. And as I conclude, I exhort you, pray for others who are in bonds. And oh, live for Christ. Take up the cross daily and follow him. And for any without Christ, Christ is the only way to heaven. Many suffer for saying that in this world, but he's the only way. Oh, follow him and you will go to heaven. Amen. Let us pray.